Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I believe this. If tomorrow, all of us, every single one of us, gets out of bed and says, "This is my country, and I'm going to do good for it," we'll make the greatest step forward since a pilgrim's foot found Plymouth Rock. Tomorrow, remember, this is my country and I'm going to do good for it. Just might work. We'll never know unless we give it a fair try. Oh, yeah, and there's one other thing I'll say tomorrow, because I say it every day of my life. God bless America.
Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies,
to the ocean wide with love,
God. White with foam.
God bless America,
my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home.
Yes. 6:07 in the Eastern Time. 5:07 in the Eastern Time. That is God Bless America featuring, good Lord, can you imagine all of the celebrities doing that now? Like those, that was a list of, listen to these names: Johnny Cash, John Wayne, Dean Martin, Bing Crosby, Bob Hope, Glenn Campbell. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. Can you imagine Hollywood celebrities doing something like this today? This is from 1970. John Wayne and the Celebrity Ensemble, God Bless America. Can you fathom?
I can't even fathom the check that would have to be cut for that.
It's a good point. Getting all of them together for one program in 1970. Well, I'm Grant Allen. I know this is not Preston Scott, but it's the morning show without Preston Scott. Episode number 5, day 551 of America Held Hostage. It's Monday, July 25th. Like I said, I'm Grant Allen, taking over Studio 1B for the day. Over there in my usual seat, Ethan Burdett in Studio 1A. We thank you so much for joining us on another week of the radio program. Today's verse of the day, Psalm 119, verse 60. I hasten and do not delay to keep your commandments. And that actually ties in really well to what my pastor preached on yesterday. He taught through the book of 2 John, which is a really short book, that the best way that we as Christians, what are we commanded to do? We're commanded to love one another. And how do we do that? By keeping his commandments. The commandments of Christ. He gave us an entire book, the whole inspired Word of God from cover to cover, 66 books, to keep his commandments and to keep his word. For Christ was the true, living Word of God, still is, and we follow his commandments and keep his word. But it's 10 minutes after the hour. We've got a long way to go yet today. Like I said, I'm Grant Allen, Ethan Burdett over there. We'll be back with history next.
To MAD Radio Network. It's the morning show with Preston Scott.
The reason we do a daily devotional, Preston titled it long ago, 6-17-63. So what are those numbers? Those numbers are the date. June 17th, 1963 was when the Supreme Court struck down biblical instruction, Bible instruction in public schools. And ever since then, it has been taboo and illegal for a teacher to stand from the front of the classroom and to talk about matters of faith for fear of... Now, have people done it? Yeah. It's one of those things where it may not be enforceable in certain counties. For example, a good chunk of my early life, you know, was spent in a rural area. Many of us grew up in, you know, some of you old-timers remember life pre-June 17, 1963. So you can remember public school instruction that was directly influenced by the Bible. And even down through the generations, I was born in 97. And we were still having kind of, it may not have been expressly Christian instruction in public school, but it was Judeo-Christian ethics adjacent, if that makes any sense. It was very clear that the presupposition of what we were learning from was biblical ethics and biblical values. But the reason we do that is because, you know, many send our kids to public school for 8 hours a day, and, you know, someone's going to disciple your children. Is it going to be you, or is it going to be the public school teachers who are growing more and more? Listen, there are plenty of great public school teachers out there. There's a remnant, a group of people that have not completely sold their soul, but there are a lot of people that have sold their soul to the ideology of the day. And those people are discipling your children. So is it going to be you, mom and dad? Or is it going to be everything else? Is it going to be the public school teacher? Is it going to be YouTube? How many kids just get an iPad thrown to them rather than being sat down and said, no, you're going to sit in a restaurant and act like a gentleman. Or you're going to sit here and act like a lady, act engaged. Instead, they throw their headphones on and watch an iPad. Anyway, that's my soapbox for today. On to this day in history, July 25th. On July 25th, 1952, Puerto Rico became a self-governing commonwealth with a constitution written by Puerto Ricans and modeled after the U.S. Constitution. The island had been a U.S. possession since 1898 when Spain surrendered it at the end of the Spanish-American War. And Puerto Rico is the largest of a handful of island territories under the jurisdiction of the federal government, and I hope they don't become a state. Here, I'm going to they've got a list of the, Ethan, I'll get you involved here. I've got a list of some of the territories. Did you know? Not only, I actually had not heard of a lot of these. Current United States territories. You got Puerto Rico, Guam, the U.S. Virgin Islands. Heard of those?
Yes.
Pretty familiar with those. The Northern Mariana Islands.
I've heard the name Mariana before, whether it was...
Well, we got Mariana down in Jackson County, by God. I'm kidding.
That's where I've heard it. Oh, yeah, that name sounds familiar.
We've got American Samoa, the Johnson Atoll, It's in the Pacific. You got the Midway Islands, Battle of Midway, Wake Island. Same thing. You know, we remember those things from like World War II documentaries and stuff like that. We're hearing about them from World War II veterans. Baker, Howland, and Jarvis Islands. I've heard of Howland. I haven't heard of the others. And then here's some, the three lesser known ones. Kingman Reef, Navassa Island, and Palmyra Atoll. I had no idea that those even existed and those were our territories. But who knew? A couple other quick things before we go. Following 1866, following the United States Civil War, President Andrew Johnson elevates Lieutenant General Ulysses S. Grant to the rank of General of the U.S. Army, first to do so. In 1898, U.S. troops began landing in Puerto Rico, so today's, I guess, all about Puerto Rico. And then in 1956, the Italian ocean liner, the Andrea Doria, sinks off of Nantucket, Massachusetts. 50 people passed away, but 1,660 people are rescued. So, interesting stuff on this day in history. 16, almost 17 minutes after the hour, we'll get the rest of the morning show without Preston Scott started next.
UFLA on your phone with the iHeartRadio app and on hundreds of devices like Alexa, Google Home, Xbox, and Sonos.
And free.
And iHeart's radio station.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back. Grant Allen here. Ethan over there. Kind of a wild weekend. There wasn't a truly, I don't know. I guess we could go take a look at Fox News right now. What was the overnight story that's kind of running right now? Elon Musk. Oh, apparently there's an alleged affair with Google co-founder. Interesting. So, I guess nothing terribly, I guess overwhelmingly, I don't know. If that's what Fox News is running with, seems kind of like a slow day to me.
There's not even like no pop culture celebrity relationship scandal or anything like
well,
that.
Well, we could go to
going to businessmen.
Yeah, we could go to Entertainment Tonight. Let's see what ET is saying.
Let's just get the water cooler gossip going now.
Tariq and Heather Ray El Moussa. Oh, the HGTV, Tariq El Moussa. Did you ever see that? Did you ever seen HGTV at all? Oh, I forget the name of their program, but Tariq and his former wife, they continued to do their program, their HGTV Reno show, even after they got divorced. So apparently, Lori Loughlin is also getting emotional in her first post-scandal TV appearance. So. And then they also were talking about Elon Musk. So I guess it was rather a slow news weekend. There were a couple big things like monkeypox is declared an official global health emergency by the WHO. Fun fact. I think I'm in the clear. I'm fine.
I thought we had like a proven vaccine for that one.
Well, I don't know. I'll be honest, that story has kind of escaped me because, admittedly, a lot of the mainstream media, like the CDC, is saying one of the ways in which it spreads and is most transmissible as a virus. I don't participate in that lifestyle. So, thank you. Yeah, now you understand. Yeah, so I'm in the clear, you're in the clear, the overwhelming majority of Americans are in the clear, but the WHO is declaring it a public health emergency, so we'll see if it's going to be spun in a way where you can allegedly get monkeypox outside what the CDC has said you can pretty much get it almost exclusively from. What were you going to say? Were you going to say something? Oh, gotcha. Well, I guess we'll see. I didn't want to spend too much time talking about monkeypox because it doesn't really... I'm not going to yet. If they start beating the drum of mandates again, then I'll start talking about it. But, alas, we're not there just yet. But I don't know if you saw. Man, I'll tell you, there is a global uprising of truckers everywhere. So one of the first times I hosted the radio program way back in February, we were talking about the Canadian truckers.
The Freedom Convoy up in Canada.
Yeah, the Freedom Convoy way back in February. Now, in response to a number of the other Great Reset-related type policies of farmland seizure in Europe, farmers, and partnered with truckers, were protesting a lot of the green, hyper-green policies that were being enacted in Europe, California truckers are doing the same thing. Independent truckers shut down the Port of Oakland as a protest against a labor law signed by California Governor Ron DeSantis. They're protesting Assembly Bill 5.
California Governor Rob DeSantis.
What did I say?
California Governor Rob DeSantis.
I did not say that.
Yeah.
Oh, good Lord. Gavin Newsom. Lord, that I just committed a cardinal sin. Assembly Bill 5, not Ron DeSantis. He's our great governor of the state of Florida, but California Governor Ron... Oh, my stars. I did it again. Gavin Newsom, Assembly Bill 5. And Assembly Bill 5 calls for a person providing labor or services for remuneration, that's a hard word, shall be considered an employee rather than an independent contractor unless the hiring entity demonstrates that the person is free from the control and direction of the hiring entity. Certain professions were exempt. Insurance agents, healthcare professionals, investment advisors, realtors, barbers, fishermen, except truckers. Where the supply chain is really reliant upon. So keep paying attention. The Port of Oakland was blocked Wednesday through Friday. So this is going to get real interesting because these kinds of labor policies are they're still going to come. This isn't going to stop. Fortunately, Canada listened when the convoy descended on the Capitol in Ottawa. Maybe California truckers, if they stage their protest in Sacramento, they might get a repeal, but I doubt it because Gavin Newsom is that kind of guy. I guess we'll see. Holy cow, I'm late. 20 minutes after the hour, time for a break. We'll be back with the big story in the Grant Box.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Who do you think you are?
On News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
I love that rejoin.
Who do you think you are? I am.
I love it. It makes me laugh every time, and it makes Preston laugh. It's always good. Are you a Marvel fan?
Not as much as I used to be after the Phase 3 ended. You know, like Endgame, you know, Infinity War, Endgame.
Do you consider Endgame basically where you're like, I'm calling it quits there? A lot of the recent movies and shows you're having a more hard time coming around to, and you kind of just feel like Endgame was it for you?
I am completely sold on Tom Holland as an actor. I'm completely sold on Benedict Cumberbatch as an actor. I mean, I've been a fan of Benedict Cumberbatch way before he got hired
sure.
on for Doctor Strange and stuff like that.
Right.
And I am a big Doctor Strange fan of the movies, or of the Doctor Strange movies. I mean, the CGI, the visuals
sure.
are just
yeah.
incredible.
Absolutely.
And
it's just,
so, yeah.
I'm not a super fan. I'm kind of just a casual fan.
Yeah.
I've seen the movies. But as a casual fan, Endgame is basically where I draw the line. I was having a conversation
it
with
was the
family.
Pinnacle.
Yeah, like that was it. That was it for me. I really don't care about the new movies like She-Hulk and Thor, Love and Thunder. Like, that just sounds terrible. It sounds horrible, but we've got a new movie. I kid you not. This is unbelievable. Marvel announces yesterday. So I guess this was kind of overnight news. I just didn't see it until I was scrolling through Twitter in the break. New movie. Captain America. New World Order.
Wait, what? They're bringing back Chris Hemsworth?
Chris Evans.
Chris Evans, sorry. Yeah, Evans.
Chris Evans.
Hemsworth is...
They haven't announced. It's coming in 2024. May 3rd, 2024 is the release date. And they haven't announced anything other than the fact that the movie is happening. They've not announced cast. But Captain America, New World Order. That is the worst. That is a horrifying title. That is straight out of the propaganda machine. That is exactly something Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum would have come up with in partnership with the Biden regime.
Yeah, they're digging through the crates. Marvel's kind of
after Endgame, it feels like. Yeah.
After Endgame, they're really digging through the crates to try and find, you know, more lesser known stories that they think they can bring something, you know, to fruition, or like, you know, get another Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right.
Because Guardians of the Galaxy was kind of like a very lesser known.
It was, but it got huge.
Yeah, because they just basically gave, you know, Taika Waititi, hope I pronounced his name right. He's a fantastic director.
Sure.
And actor. They gave him a bunch of money and just said, hey, make a movie with these guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he did, and it was phenomenal, and now they're just, I get the feeling that they're just basically just...
They're grasping at straws now.
Yeah, just firing them out.
They were on a roll, but this, the more of the thing that I'm hoping to emphasize here, Captain America, New World Order, are you kidding me?
There is a comic story where he is a Hydra agent.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so like if you look at the, you know, the Disney Plus show, What If?
I've not seen it, but I think I've heard of it.
There's a one where, not to spoil too much for those who are interested, but there is one where like Captain Carter.
Okay.
You know,
yeah.
Or like Agent Carter.
Yeah.
Where she got the serum instead of Steve Rogers.
Interesting.
You know, what happened? Like, there's a zombie apocalypse version where like all the Marvel superheroes turn into zombies. Like,
so I'm over here sounding the alarm, and you're saying that maybe you might be able to pump the brakes a little bit.
Pump the brakes a little bit.
Okay.
Because there are like, there's anything you can imagine with comics.
Sure.
Can and probably has been done to a certain degree.
Well, that's not the big story in the press box. I'll get to that after a quick check of weather and traffic. 40 minutes after the hour. On the Morning Show with Preston Scott.
A sensei of sensibility. Communicator of common sense amplified. It's the Morning Show with Preston Scott.
We spent an entire segment talking about movies and Marvel and how it feels like the New World Order is being instituted because Marvel is calling it Captain America New World Order. But Ethan has calmed me back down, gotten me off the ledge, so maybe I don't need to sound the alarm. Like I said, I blew right through. Didn't even get to the big story in the press box. Marvel was not the big story in the press box.
Yeah, sorry. We get to talking and lose track of time and the clock, and then that little audio gap when he's like 40 minutes past the hour. I'm sitting here like with the mouse trying to get my cursor over the button to fire the sting.
And the mouse doesn't quite catch up with you. You're like, oh, crud. Here is the big story in the press box. Another January 6er committed suicide. It's a sad story, but a sad story that we're hearing a lot about. And I've gotten a lot of response when I talk about the January 6 political prisoners. That's what we need to call them. The constitutional right to due process, to a speedy and fair trial, has been denied. The feds are using the January 6ers, and that's kind of how they sound like a basketball team when I phrase it that way. All right, I'm a fan of the Sixers, the Januarys. I'm kidding. But again, I feel like everything you have to say nowadays, you have to provide with a disclaimer. I would not have done what they did, But I have a hard time believing that you can charge someone with trespassing when you're invited in. If you're going to charge him, charge him. But for over a year and a half now, countless individuals have written to news outlets, committed suicide, talking about how they feel like they are utterly hopeless as individuals. And this most recent individual who took his own life, Mark Aungst, it's not August, but A-U-N-G-S-T. He's originally born in Germany, member of Messiah Lutheran Church in Pennsylvania. He was among the January 6th demonstrators caught up in the legal process stemming from the chaos of the day. He pled guilty to a charge of demonstrating or parading in a restricted building. That's it. There was no violent destruction of property. And allegedly, reportedly, according to this report, he literally just walked around the Capitol building and took pictures. This whole January 6th charade, it's what it is. It's a charade. They keep talking about new bombshell allegations that's going to tie to President Trump. No. As we talked about last week, it was President Trump who called in the National Guard days before January 6th. And it was D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi that turned down National Guard help to secure the facility. It's a whole charade, and they're making political prisoners and making a point out of every single person that happens to be to the right of Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski. If you are somewhat to the right of Liz Cheney, you are viewed as, well, an enemy of all that they're trying to do. And this is how they feel about you. Utter contempt. 46 minutes after the hour.
The days when times were good and life was simple, he still lives there. The Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
One is almost over with already. Make sure, as always, you can send me an email. Grant Allen at W... Yeah, let me remember it. I almost forgot my own email. Grant Allen at WFLAFM.com. Again, you can reach me at Grant, A-L-L-E-N, at WFLAFM.com. I'm filling in for Preston today. He'll be back tomorrow. Ethan Burdett's over there in my usual seat, but we're having fun. It's always a fun time when you and I can get together and, when we first started, what was it? When the cat's away, the mice come out to play.
Yes,
it's always a fun time. We spent half of this hour talking about movies.
I hope we're a nice change of pace, a little levity.
Yeah, we get more of the youth, the things on our radar. A lot of the things on my radar tend to be what Preston, geez Louise, I need to calm down and not hit the mic. A lot of the things that are on my radar are on Preston's radar as well. And we talked about it last week, the attacker of Congressman Lee Zeldin out of New York, who is, I think he's running for governor of New York. Yeah, Zeldin running for New York governor as a Republican. God bless him. You're not going to win, but you can try. But he was assaulted on stage. Like, this guy had like this dagger in between his knuckles. I don't know if you saw it, Ethan. We talked about it last week. That this guy was not apprehended for like the first, day or so, but they apprehended him.
The man was on stage.
The guy walked on stage with this little dagger thing in between his knuckles.
Yeah.
And grabbed the congressman's arm and directed his fist, his knuckle, with the dagger in it toward Lee Zeldin's neck. Like, that was an assassination attempt.
Yeah.
And how no one stopped this guy from walking on stage is beyond me. But the guy, he is making his first court appearance. He was arrested Saturday afternoon finally, on federal assault charges. Zeldin was giving a speech.
You can bump that up to attempted murder.
Yeah, no kidding. And the guy was, according to this Fox News article, he was holding a black hardened plastic keychain with two sharp points designed for self-defense, police say. And I don't doubt that. But I saw another article where the guy was saying that he just wanted to talk to Lee Zeldin, that he was a veteran, the attacker was a veteran, and he heard from someone in the crowd that Zeldin was speaking ill of veterans. And that's how he sought to resolve a point of contention. By walking on stage with a sharp dagger. He's clearly not okay.
If he is a veteran and needs help, I hope he gets it.
Yeah.
You know, attempted murder is attempted murder, but
if
he's a veteran that needs help, I hope he gets it.
Yeah, absolutely. No doubt. And that's kind of what it sounds like. It doesn't seem like everything was all together. Sounds like the guy would needed help, but it was clearly he was not going to have a chat with Lee Zeldin. He was
no,
yeah. He he's going to be charged, and so finally someone did something. But also a story I meant to get to. Now we're actually talking about Ron DeSantis, and I'm going to use Ron DeSantis's name correctly. He was talking about calling out a huge problem of we talked about it also last week, the Chinese are buying tons and tons of American land near an Air Force base in North Dakota, Minot Air Force Base. There was another military base in Texas that the Chinese were buying up land next to, and apparently they've been buying up land in Florida. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis called out China for reportedly buying up massive amounts of property in the Sunshine State. DeSantis said, I don't think they should be able to do it. And he talked about how DeSantis and, you know, the Florida GOP banned Confucius Institutes, which he said allows Communist Party influences and propaganda in the higher education system. And there were a number of stories I remember last year of Chinese influences at major institutions here in the state of Florida, higher education institutions in the state of Florida, Chinese nationals that were being extradited back to their home country because they got outed. I think one of them was at the University of Florida. I can pull up the story and confirm, but this is definitely a thing, and definitely the Chinese influence is getting worse and worse buying up land. But hour number two is coming up next.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
On the morning show without Preston Scott. Howdy, folks. I'm Grant Allen, Ethan Burdett over there. We're having a grand old time this morning. You made a great comment in the break. You probably, you know, heard the national news talking about how, you know, we can feel you can see the recession coming. And Ethan rightly points out, well, if you can see it coming, then why do you keep doing what you're doing? Precisely. Great question.
It's like hitting yourself in the head with a hammer going, why am I seeing stars?
Exactly. It's like we're kicking ourselves, we're shooting ourselves in the foot and wondering why we're bleeding. But that would mean that those in power would have to go back on what they've been wanting to do from the beginning. And that's transform all of society into a state of dependency. They keep spending trillions and trillions of dollars in stimulus packages, spending packages, $40 billion to Ukraine. printing money without ceasing, and they wonder, supply chains, you know, they're passing bills that put the burden on the worker, like truckers, and they wonder why we have supply chain issues. It's the very fact that they keep passing legislation and they keep doing things. The very fact, I made the joke with Preston maybe a couple weeks ago, that the 2022 midterms later this fall are simply going to be a stopgap to just get the faucet to stop running. Just stop it. Doing nothing is better than doing something in this case, because everything that they do is in line with their transformative agenda to completely upend the entire country of what we all once knew and loved and completely transform it. But that means they'd have to go back on their word. They'd have to start drilling oil again. They'd have to cut spending. They'd have to quit spending. They'd have to quit printing money. And they can't do that. They are too set in stone in their ideology and their own worldview. They can't go back on it. But anyway, a very astute observation, Ethan Burdett. But I wanted to take a couple of segments. Now, one of the last times I hosted the program, I debunked gun control myths because we were on soon after the Uvalde shooting. And firearm policy was in the conversation. Well, as the January 6th thing, and that was the big story in the press box this morning, we'll hear it again at the bottom of the hour. But January 6th is kind of on the minds of the Beltway. Not necessarily on the minds of the American people, because no one watched that charade. But I couldn't help. I was like a fish with just a lure dangling in the water. And this article was that lure. And so I bit. And I couldn't help it. I could have ignored it, but it was CNN. And the Communist News Network putting out their best, as always. An imposter Christianity is threatening American democracy, says an analysis by writer John Blake. Listen to this horrifying statement. Three men, eyes closed and heads bowed, pray before a rough-hewn wooden cross. Another man wraps his arms around a massive Bible pressed against his chest like a shield. All throughout the crowd, people wave Jesus Saves banners and pump their fists towards the sky. Ooh, horrifying. People praying, Christians doing what Christians do.
Sounds like a church. Where is this happening?
So this was an analysis and a recap of this is what they were talking about and the visuals that they were seeing at January 6th at the riot at the Capitol. What they call an insurrection. As I'm reading this article, by the way, I have a hard time. I find myself saying to myself, oh my gosh, I don't know where to begin. But after the break, I'll do my best to get started.
Morning Show with Preston Scott.
This is the way.
On News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
I'm taking time to try and debunk what the lamestream media refers to as this white Christian nationalism that these racist Trump supporters at the Capitol on January 6th want a white Christian America. This op-ed, good Lord, it truly is hard to begin, hard to believe that I've got to figure out where to begin here. One of the things that they dispel, or that the CNN article tries to say, erasing that a belief that the United States was founded as a Christian nation. One of the most popular beliefs among white Christian nationalists is that the United States was founded as a Christian nation. The founding fathers were all Orthodox, evangelical Christian, and God has chosen the U.S. for a special role in history. I don't think that God has selected the United States for any special role in human history. We're just like every other nation. what the Bible says, all nations are commanded to bow before the Lord. But this idea that the United States was founded on a Christian nation, I would actually say, is rather accurate when you read the writings of the men who founded the country. John Quincy Adams, right? Son of a founding father. The hope of a Christian is inseparable from his faith, talking about how my hopes of a future life are all founded upon the gospel of Jesus Christ, and how the nation was founded upon that virtue. Let me keep going here. Oh, man. Some of this stuff is great. John Dickinson talking about his faith, Charles Carroll, Jacob Broom, Elias Boudinot, Josiah Bartlett. These are all founding fathers that you probably never heard of, talking about how, like Samuel Adams, I rely upon the merits of Jesus Christ for a pardon of all my sins. Alexander Hamilton, talking about how I recurred to the topic of the divine compassion, the freedom of a pardon in the Redeemer Jesus to perishing sinners. John Hancock, signer of the Declaration of Independence, President of Congress, Revolutionary General and Governor of Massachusetts. He also stated on the state of Massachusetts to pray. This was his hope for the state of Massachusetts, to pray that all nations may bow to the scepter of our Lord Jesus and the whole earth may be filled with his glory, that the spiritual kingdom of our Lord may be continually increasing until the whole earth shall be filled with his glory. And it was John Adams who so famously said that we ought to be evangelical in our zeal for spreading the gospel through American principles globally. First Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court, John Jay. He was a founding member of, I believe it was the American Bible Society. I believe it was the name of the group. He said, the entire reason for public schools in the United States was the intention of teaching Scripture. That the founding of the government was wholly influenced by Hebrew biblical standards. Let me find this. This is an article. There you go. Another article. Samuel Langdon. He was Harvard University's 11th president. The Jewish government in the book in the Old Testament was a perfect republic. Let us therefore look over the Israelites' constitution and laws. They had both a civil and military establishment under divine direction and a complete body of judicial laws drawn up and delivered to them by Moses in God's name. Instead of the 12 tribes of Israel, we may substitute the 13 states of the American Union. From the very beginning, the founders had this idea that yes, there was a separation between church and state, but that term that they didn't want was an ecclesiology. They didn't want, like, the Church of England directly influencing local congregations. But to think that the civil government and the lives of the people were not going to be influenced by God in a complete, total, secular society, they did not believe in that. I'm going to continue with another article and an analysis of who we really are as a people.
WFLA on your phone with the iHeartRadio app and on hundreds of devices like Alexa, Google Home, Xbox, and Sonos.
Dude, yes!
And iHeart's radio station.
I'll take responsibility for that one.
I wasn't going to say anything. You do that to yourself. You out yourself there. I wasn't going to say anything.
The fact that the wrong music played was me outing myself.
Yeah, as I've said always, when the host goofs, sometimes you can mask it, right? But when the producer goofs,
everybody knows.
It's true. It is true.
It's like dropping a glass bottle on the edge of a public pool. Everyone stares.
So with that, Ethan Burnett over there in Studio 1A. I'm in Studio 1B, Grant Allen. We're talking about, was the United States founded as a Christian nation? And many, the term being tossed around today that we're in a post-Christian society, I would actually argue that we're more of an apostate society. And I think there's a big difference because, well, this article from the American Reformer, doing an analysis of the founding of the nation, and we talked about in the last segment kind of the hearts of the founders. Who were these men? Their hearts were affectionately stirred for the things of the Bible. These were the hearts. So what did they do in practice, in function? Did they actually institute a Christian government, a Christian society? Well, it's kind of hard to argue with, let me find it here. This is the Constitution of Delaware in 1776. Nine of the original 13 state constitutions featured religious tests in order to hold public office. This is the Constitution of Delaware in 1776. Every person who shall be a member of either house or appointed to any office or place of trust before taking his seat or entering upon the execution of his office shall take the following oath or affirmation if consciously scrupulous of taking an oath. Here it is. I do profess faith in God the Father and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, and in the Holy Ghost, one God, blessed forevermore, and I do acknowledge the Holy Scriptures of the Old and New Testament to be given by divine inspiration. If you sought public office in the state of Delaware in the early Republic period, 1776 particularly, you had to be a professing member of a Christian church and a professing Christian, and you had to affirm that. How about the North Carolina Constitution of the same year? No person who shall deny the being of God or the truth of the Protestant religion or the divine authority, either of the Old or New Testaments, or who shall hold religious principles incompatible with the freedom and safety of the state, shall be capable of holding any office or place of trust or profit in the civil departments within this state. You would not be able to hold public office unless you held to a biblical Christian worldview and actively professed it before God and everyone. Same thing happened in Georgia, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, South Carolina, Vermont. They all did the same thing. Even New Jersey, where there was a wide range of different faith backgrounds. That no person shall ever within this colony be deprived, I guess this was colony, technically before independence, be deprived of the inestimable privilege of worshiping Almighty God. And that these the faith that these men held led them to pay tithes, taxes, or any other rates for the purpose of building, repairing churches or churches, place of worship for the maintenance of any minister, etc., etc. These were things that they enacted in their state constitutions from the very beginning. The fundamental constitution of the province of East New Jersey in America in 1665 stated that you could not do anything. You could not participate in public civil order unless you professed faith in Christ. There was this long-standing social order where, take for example, the state of Connecticut. Connecticut had an official state religion. Many states in the early Republic period, soon after the founding of the country, had official state religions. Evangelical Congregationalism was the state religion of Connecticut. And we are a collective union. If you follow that train of logic, that kind of from a grassroots bottom-up perspective, that if you are a member of your society and you sought public office at the state, that the federal government was downstream from the state collective union, if that makes any sense. It wasn't a top-down approach like we think of it now. We think of this federal government as this great big monolith that we can't touch. But the only reason that they are able to gather to begin with is because the states first said that they were able to. So if you have Christian state constitutions expressly stated from the very beginning and Christians who occupied those seats, then the federal government is actually downstream from the state, not upstream, if that makes any sense. It's a bottom-up approach, not a top-down approach. We're a republic. We are a union under God. Give me an email. I can send you those resources. GrantAllen@WFLAFM.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Decades of doing morning drive radio differently. Doing it his way. Like old Blue Eyes. Except he has a little more hair. The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Halfway done with the radio program on Monday, July 25th. I actually, before the show started, can you believe we're 5 months away from Christmas? To the day, 5 months away from Christmas. And Preston talked about this. Start doing your shopping now. It's easier on the budget. It's easier on your bank account because things are just going to cost more and more. And I think, let me check the calendar. Let me see. We've got Christmas is on a Sunday this year, so Christmas Eve is going to be Saturday. So a ton of shopping is going to be done on Friday and Saturday night. And with supply chain not looking good, with prospects of recession late this year into next year not looking good, start doing your shopping now. You never know if you're actually going to get a package you ordered. You never know what if you're going to even be able to find anything on shelves in stores. Because I just have this sinking feeling that things aren't going to be looking great in the long term. And by long term, I mean the next couple of years. And I don't want to put all of my hope in 2024, but it's a good start. It depends on if we are able to elect an actual conservative, an actual principled conservative in 2024 that can not only just put a plug in the cascading flood that is the federal government. They don't know when to stop. Not only stop that, but start to reverse course. Like the things that we needed, like, oh, I don't know, 100 years ago is a balanced budget constitutional amendment. We have that in Florida, and we have a surplus. We have a surplus in Florida when most states don't. Not the big story in the press box. I get on these tangents. But the big story in the press box is another January 6th rioter. He was a participant in the day's events at the Capitol. On that day, and he committed suicide. He took his own life. A defendant awaiting sentencing for his role. He pled guilty. His name is Mark Ongenst. He's a German native living in the United States. He was among the many January 6th demonstrators caught up in the protracted legal process stemming from the chaos. He has pled guilty to a charge of demonstrating or parading in a restricted building. And he was due to be sentenced in September. He wasn't facing very long. It wasn't very long at all. He wasn't facing a long sentence. Did I say it was only about a month? It was like a 30-day sentence? Is that what I said? Did I hear that correctly? Maybe. Let's see. We'll make sure. Yeah. Pled guilty. Okay, I was mistaken. He was facing up to 6 months in prison and a $5,000 fine. 6 months. And he was only a couple more months away from being sentenced. January, less than 2 months away. And he took his own life. We've seen so many stories. A couple weeks ago, Preston read an op-ed from a guy who said, "I just have no hope. I trust that the Lord is good, and I trust in his grace, but this particular guy that we were referencing, the podcaster Steve Dace, got a hold of this letter. It was an open letter from a January Sixer, and they just had no hope. And I don't blame them, to be honest with you. When you are a public enemy number one of your own government, where your constitutional rights aren't being afforded you, what do you do? When legal and attorney fees just keep racking up, but just sad. Just plain sad.
See from the spin, don't know what to believe? Clear the fog. The Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
No Dr. Joe Camps today. He's taking some time off. He will rejoin the program regularly in the month of August. So no Dr. Camps today. That just gives me more time to be able to get all these things off my chest. It's funny because you would think being a producer, days like this, I get to host the radio program and I get to just talk for 3 hours. You would think I'd get everything off of my chest, but I end up focusing on topics and then I like breeze through something and I don't get to it. And then I go home and talk to my wife about it. And she was like, "You had 3 hours this morning. Was that not enough time?" And I said, "No, it wasn't."
It's like therapy, but only in 4 minute bursts.
Yeah. Four to five minute bursts. Exactly. And then you take commercial break and then you come back. This story's wild. The arrogance of this story. The arrogance of our federal government. See, we've only got a few days left in July. And if you remember, August 2021 was when Kabul fell. And Afghanistan fell back into the hands of the Taliban. I can't believe it's been a year because I remember... Like I was doing this radio program with Preston a year ago when the news was breaking and we were kind of going through it as it was happening. And we were just talking about how this is absolutely a direct result of the incompetence of the Biden administration. CIA Director William Burns, get this. For those veterans who are listening, regardless of the era you served in, particularly the ones, if you served in kind of in Afghanistan, maybe Iraq, that era, that time in American history from about 2003 or 2002, 2003 to like the last couple of years, that 20-year time span, if you served, you ought to be really ticked off at these comments. William Burns, CIA director, said he is very proud of the agency's analysis in Afghanistan in 2021. Despite being blindsided by the swift collapse of the Afghan government and failing to predict how quickly the Taliban would take Kabul. Yeah, he's proud of how they handled things. That's who these people are. Burns said this last Wednesday, during an Aspen security forum, that he was very proud of the analysis with all of its imperfections. That's what he calls it, imperfections. That we tried to provide to policymakers over the 6 months leading up to the withdrawal. As the president has said publicly, none of us anticipated that the Afghan government was going to flee as quickly as it did, that the Afghan military was going to collapse as fast as it did. Having said that, I think CIA at least was always on the more pessimistic end of the spectrum in terms of highlighting, you know, over the course of the spring and summer, the obvious ways in which the Taliban were advancing rapidly and how this was hollowing out in many ways, not just the political leadership, but also the military. So this guy not only has the audacity to say he's really proud of how particularly the CIA handled kind of the thing, but that it wasn't them. They knew all along that things weren't going to go well. Their predictions were correct. It was everyone else. It was the military brass that was wrong, like Biden, like Mark Milley, like our major generals and leadership brass, Lloyd Austin. Secretary of State Antony Blinken, was similarly dismissive when pressed in June 2021. Just in June 2021. Remember, Antony Blinken said, "We're not withdrawing. We are staying. The embassy is staying." So I would not necessarily equate the departure of forces in July, August, or by early September with some kind of immediate deterioration in the situation. That was Antony Blinken in June 2021. 2 months later, Afghanistan happens. That's your leadership, ladies and gentlemen.
Wherever you may be, from Florida's Sunshine State to New York's... forget New York. Nah, scratch that. New York's now hopeless. At least the city is. For the rest, we're your morning show. The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Ethan, are you a fan... of, I don't know if you're a fan. Are you a fan is not the right question. Have you ever done like one of those 23andMe ancestry DNA, you know, spit in a vial and then you send it in and you get your ancestry DNA kits back? Have you ever done that before?
I have a kit and I've considered doing it. I mean, I understand that, you know, like, yes, I'm sending off my complete DNA sequence off to another company where it's backlogged. But I mean,
yeah.
I mean, even Disney has my fingerprint and stuff like
it's
that.
It's true.
And, you know, my mother was, for me, I'm heavily considering it just because my mother's adopted. So half my medical history and genetic predispositions or anything is just a giant question mark.
Do you know your biological family at all? Do you have any idea? Did your mom have any idea who her biological family was?
No clue.
Really? Okay.
No clue.
Interesting.
She was adopted the day she was born.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Very interesting. You might get a message. If you were to do that, you might get like one of those messages of like long lost cousins.
My dad has two half brothers. One of them found us.
No kidding. Yeah. Because of that?
Because of that. Yeah. He was looking because he knew that my granddad, my dad's father had... you know, after they got divorced, he had, you know, he had two other sons.
Sure.
And I wound up meeting a bunch of my cousins out in San Antonio 1 year.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's wild. So that's one of the pros to doing ancestry DNA, 23andMe, things like that. Here's a warning of why you may want to consider not to do that. Representative Jason Crow, U.S. Army veteran, used his time at the Aspen Security Forum, second time mentioning that forum today, to warn Americans to be more judicious about sharing their DNA with private companies due to the coming of new bioweapons. Okay? According to his testimony, bioweapons are being developed that use specific DNA to target and kill individuals through their medical profile, and it's all being done through China. Go ahead.
There is a show called Limitless. It had one season before getting canceled.
Follows that prospect, kind of?
There is an episode that covers that specific topic. It was an investigation, yeah.
Well, what was previously fiction does not seem to be all that fiction anymore. His call is on repeat of one made in 2019 when concerns about China acquiring the DNA of American service members prompted the Pentagon to issue an advisory to the entire force against using commercial popular DNA testing kits to trace one's ancestry, like 23andMe and Ancestry DNA. You can actually take someone's DNA. This is the congressman from Colorado. You can actually take someone's DNA, take, you know, their medical profile, and you can target a biological weapon that will kill that person or take them off the battlefield or make them inoperable. Now, I did Ancestry DNA. Many, many people have. It's cool. It's fun. You know, you get to see, and in your case, you get connected with family members you didn't know you were related to.
When used as it's intended.
When used as it's intended. Correct. When it's simply there. It's just there for your fun information. And you're like, oh, I didn't know I had like 7% Swedish. Or, hey, I always heard this rumor that we were part Greek. Or and like, oh, turns out my great grandmother was right, or something like that. No. This is the warning. Be very, very wary of sending in those DNA test kits. If you're considering doing it, consider this information. Like I said, many of us have already done it. I did. And it didn't really share anything with me too different than what I had already thought. Overwhelmingly English with some Scottish, a little bit of Scots-Irish, and then some other Northern European, and that was about it. And I'm not surprised by that at all. But be very, very concerned. The congressman said people will very rapidly spit into a cup and send it to 23andMe and get really interesting data about their background. And he said that young people have very little expectation of privacy. And the Chinese Communist Party seems to be playing right into that vulnerability. Hour number two, we're just finishing up now. We got one more hour to go on the Monday edition of The Morning Show without Preston Scott. So,
with Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yeah, it is 8:05. I need to change my clock here. 8:05 Eastern, 7:05 Central. Welcome to the morning show. I'm Grant Allen, filling in for Preston today. Just taking the time off. He took a trip over the weekend and wanted to rest up on his drive back. And so I absolutely am totally willing to fill in and still give you great programming here in Florida's capital city. It's day five of the morning show, episode number five of the morning show without Preston Scott, and day 551 of America Held Hostage. 551 days too many. This story, all right, hear me out. We've all become sugar daddies. I know. Kind of a crazy statement, right? We've all become sugar daddies. Like, what do you mean, dude? It's an article that friend sent me, and it was just so good, I had to take some time to analyze it and share it with you. It's by a writer named Josiah Lippincott, and he has his own Substack called The Regime Critic. And he wrote this article in Substack called Making Welfare Work, Solutions for Our Broken Safety Net. How our welfare system is actually incentivizing every single one of us who are hardworking, faithful, tax-paying members of society, turning all of us into the sugar daddies for the welfare system. Lippincott writes, America spends $2 trillion every year on financial assistance to the poor, and yet we still have extensive poverty. Curious. Every year, the poor people I see in public are fatter and more dysfunctional than ever before, and the number of homeless and drug addicts rises. Something is profoundly wrong with the state of affairs. We're spending massive resources on helping the downtrodden, but everything keeps getting worse. Much of this has to do with how we distribute these resources. This gentleman writes, when I lived in Oceanside, California, when I was serving in the Marine Corps, I once watched as a shopper in front of me, an obese woman, about 5'6", 300 pounds, unloaded a shopping cart full of Pop-Tarts, pastries, soda, and sugary cereals onto the conveyor belt. Her toddler daughter played in the cart's front seat. No father figure, no wedding ring. When the cashier was finished ringing her up, The woman whipped out what was clearly an EBT card and used it to pay for the whole high fructose infused mess. This incident is a microcosm of a social collapse. I, an employed male, had become the literal sugar daddy for this almost certainly single mom, obese, diabetes-induced slop in order to fight poverty. Now, he uses some real intense language here, but the point is very apropos. Some of you know my wife worked as a teacher. She would come home and tell me the most amazing things she would see. Children who seemingly didn't seem like they showered. They didn't have a meal. It was a real rough situation. But they all had iPhones. They all had TikTok. They were sending Snap stories to one another. What are we funding? We're fighting poverty, but we're creating a very system that creates people to become more dependent on other taxpaying dollars. When he says, this writer, when he says we're becoming the literal sugar daddies of an entire class of society, he's absolutely right. This welfare system, once intended for to be able to like take care of people in an actual point of need,
subsidized until you get back on your feet.
Yeah, until you get back on your feet, has wildly gotten out of control. He proposes some ideas. We'll take a quick check of weather and traffic, and we'll see kind of what his ideas are. See if they might work.
Decades of doing morning drive radio differently, doing it his way. Like all Blue Eyes, except he's not one of the great decomposers. You know, it's not 6 feet under. The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
So now that we've got that out of the way, we know that the federal government and sometimes state government's welfare systems aren't actually bringing and lifting people out of their situation. We have many policies on the books that actually incentivize more and more, well, rough situations in life rather than, you know, for example, we have more, if a single mom were to have more and more children, they get more and more. More money, yeah, more welfare benefits. And we're incentivizing bad habits, bad behavior, and just overall a characterization that is destructive for society. And this is across the board. This is not one particular race of people, right? This is poor black, poor white, poor Hispanic, poor, like just this general idea that we as a people are taking our tax-paying dollars seemingly to lift people up out of this, but it's actually keeping them down. And I know there are many, many people in communities all across this country that they want to get off of it, but they actually incentivize you to stay on rather than get off. You get lower tax, you get more tax breaks, and you're in a lower tax bracket. You have to pay, you don't have to pay as much. And, you know, folks like, you know, everyone else in the world pay more in taxes and bear more of the burden. Here are some of the common, some of the reforms, social reforms that this guy proposes as a possible idea of how to reform the welfare system. And he first starts with complete and total abolition. The federal government should have nothing to do with welfare, this gentleman writes. Virtually all domestic policy should be made at the local and state level. And I agree. Welfare programs at the national level encourage waste, fraud, and abuse because there's so little accountability. Totally right. For instance, he writes, the U.S. Department of Agriculture has 105,000 employees and a $150 billion budget, 80% of which is dedicated to food aid. He proposes that money could be better tracked and spent locally. It's an interesting idea. He also proposes welfare should be given out by juries. having a collection of people. Welfare juries should be public, too, and require potential recipients to come in person. Instead of faceless bureaucrats in a bland public building blindly handing out welfare, unemployment, disability, and food aid, aids should be given out by a jury. If someone wants money from the taxpayer, assistance should make his case to the taxpayers. Go straight to the people. Seems like an interesting idea. Seems like it would really backlog a court system. But you know what?
You might have to create an entirely separate, you know, like circuit court almost. And,
almost like a new exclusive welfare court system kind of thing overseen by a state agency. Something. Interesting idea. I'm just posing it out there. Welfare benefits should only be given out. This is interesting. Should only be given out at 8 a.m. Welfare should exist. People fall on hard times, and I, for one, don't want my fellow citizens to starve. I think that's seems fairly reasonable, I guess. People who are in need should get some help, but having a basic safety net is good. But those should be able to come with a little bit of discomfort. You're going to have to work for it a little bit. If you're really in dire straits, waking up at 8 a.m. to get free money isn't an issue. Random drug tests. I think that the random drug tests for welfare recipients, duh. And public assistance of every kind should come with conditions, namely work. Also, certain foods should not be eligible, like chips and soda and candies. Those kinds of foods ought not be eligible with an EBT card in different welfare programs.
Milk, bread, water, fruit,
meat,
vegetables,
yeah,
protein. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, those would be kind of some social common sense social reforms that I think a lot of people could get behind. So just an interesting thought, just some food for thought. Take to the water cooler with you. Some possible social reforms of the welfare system.
WFLA on your phone with the iHeartRadio app and on hundreds of devices like Alexa, Google Home, Xbox, and Sonos.
Hey, so here we go.
An iHeart's radio station.
Last year, or no, it wasn't last year. It was 2020. 2020 was known as the Summer of Love. As a response to the George Floyd thing you may remember from a couple years ago, the George Floyd incident where he lost his life and the Derek Chauvin trial and all that, that was known as the Summer of Love. Mostly peaceful protests, right? I think you could make another argument that we are experiencing another summer of love as a result of the Dobbs-Jackson case from the Supreme Court overturning the Roe v. Wade precedent and abortion law being returned back to the states. There have been over 100 attacks on pro-life organizations, women's clinics, faith-based women's clinics, churches, Lynchburg, Virginia, Burlington, Vermont, Jane's Revenge, about Longmont, California, Longmont, Colorado. If abortions aren't safe, neither are you, with an Antifa logo. Where's the coverage of this? Detroit, women's clinic in Detroit. Abolition Media is the one that's covering this. Where's the coverage? Hundreds of pro-life and women's assistance clinics are being attacked across the country. And no one's talking about it. Summer of Love, right? Another story. I'm surprised this hasn't happened already, to be honest with you. Crayons. Crayola is accused of pushing a transgender agenda to small children. crayon company is now facing a boycott. This is a statement from Crayola. Julian Gavino, he, him, is a fashion model, writer, and activist who identifies as a transgender man. As someone who grew up not seeing anyone who looked like him in the media, Julian is determined to normalize disabled and trans bodies in the fashion world. And Crayola posted three images of this gentleman. He goes by he, him, but who knows anymore? Where he's wearing a leopard print jumpsuit and another with a lime green jacket with a chain, bra, as well as latex pants and high-heeled boots. Now,
why is Crayola getting into the fashion business?
Well, because you said yourself earlier, crayon has all the colors of the rainbow. Yeah. They're advocating for disabled and trans rights, Ethan. Come on, don't you know that?
It's
a crayon.
It's a crayon.
I know.
I used to melt them and make little cars with them.
Yeah. Wait, you made cars out of melted crayons?
Yeah.
Did you have like these casts?
It was like a little mold, and then you have the little piece of metal that you, like the little metal axle for the front and the back, and then you plug the little wheels on, you let it dry up, and then it was the cheaper way of, I couldn't afford Hot Wheels as a kid, so I did that.
So you were able to do it that way. That's pretty creative. Crayon is another company that you may or may not want to put on a certain list of avoidance, but you're kind of left without words at sometimes, don't you? Like, is nothing sacred anymore? The Blaze is reporting all the social media users. Are there any other brands of crayons? Like, other than Crayola crayons?
Like an oil or clay type material that's used for drawing?
Is that like artist level stuff? Or like what's just like if you were to go to Target or Walmart or something like that, go to your box store and you need to get crayons for back to school, what other options are there?
I'll ask Google. I'll let you
know. Yeah, I was going to say. So there you go. Hey, could be an idea. Start a crayon company. Good Lord. Nothing is sacred anymore. Jeez Louise. Well, we're coming up on the final half hour. We've got a couple fun different things that we'll talk about. Reset the big story in the press box. But it is 8:26, almost 27 after the hour on the morning show without Preston Scott.
Jack.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
This is the MAD Radio Network, where we challenge you to make a difference in your world. With the morning show, Preston Scott.
Final half hour radio program. Always a fun time being able to fill in for Preston. Ethan Burdett over there, Studio 1A. I'm in Studio 1B. Like I said, filling in for Preston in the captain's chair. Actually, you're the captain. I'm the co-captain that just gets to say everything. Big story in the press box is it's a story that we're seeing quite frequently. If you've heard the last few hours, if you're tuning in for the first time, catching only the latter half on your drive to work or whatever the case may be, another January 6th defendant commits suicide while awaiting sentencing. Mark Ongust, who was facing, Ongust, I believe is how you pronounce it, born in Germany and then came to the United States, was facing up to 6 months in prison and a $5,000 fine. Took his own life on the 20th, a few days ago. He was among the many January 6th demonstrators caught up in the extensive legal process where people are being held without constitutional rights afforded them. Yeah, legal. Yeah, they call it, Ethan points it out aptly, they call it a legal process, but there's nothing legal about it. They're being held as political prisoners. Again, everything in today's day and age feels like you have to provide a disclaimer or some sort of caveat, right? No one was a fan of what happened on January 6th. But I find it very hard to charge someone with trespassing. Different kinds of trespassing charges. This guy was facing one for a particularly restricted area, which was 6 months. He was getting 6 months for trespassing in a restricted area. I have a hard time believing that that's justice at all when you are invited in. How many countless videos have we seen where Capitol Police is saying, hey, come right on in. And yes, there was vandalism. Like, people were taking property. I'm aware of that. I'm totally aware of that. I'm totally aware of the guy walking off with, you know, smiling and then with Nancy Pelosi's lectern. I'm aware of that. But nothing, they're calling it a legal insurrection. And if you watch the video, nothing says legal insurrection like a bunch of people walking within the ropes of the Capitol Rotunda. Yeah, Ethan's like, you got to be kidding. If you look at the video, these people, they made their way into the Capitol and they're walking within the ropes. They're staying within the lines, looking around with the flags that they have. And like I said, the vast majority of this is going to try to portray anyone to the right of Liz Cheney as some white Christian racist nationalist trying to overthrow the U.S. government. And it's just patently ridiculous. No one believes this lie. I don't say no one. But by and large, the American people didn't watch this junk. They didn't watch it. The only people that did were the ones who are already bought into the ideology. They're already bought into everything that, you know, the mainstream media news is going to tell them. They're not convincing everyone. They keep saying bombshell. Anyone remember when Mark Meadows' assistant was talking about how she testified before the committee just a few weeks ago, and she said that Trump was threatening to grab hold of the steering wheel? She's already been, like, no one remembers her already. She's already been proven false. She was proven false in the first few hours after she testified, saying that the driver of the limo and another guy of the, what is the president's, like, motorcade called? The Beast. The driver of the Beast and another guy was willing to come before the committee and testify. That never happened.
Is that technically perjury? To lie under oath in front of a committee? I know it's different than a court, so.
Well, yeah, I imagine it probably is. Actually, yeah. I don't know. I don't want to speak too soon.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to speak too soon because it's not, it's a committee. It doesn't have really
legal standing.
Yeah, it's a committee. Maybe I don't understand the ins and outs entirely, and I need to do some more reading on that, but I'm kind of following your train of thought there, that what water do they hold? They keep thinking of, they finally found this new bombshell report that's going to link to Trump, and I promise you, if Bob Mueller can spend 4 years trying to link Trump to Russia and come up with nothing, they're going to come up with nothing regarding January 6th as well. Big story in the press box is officially wrapped.
Morning show with Preston Scott.
I'm your Huckleberry.
On News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
It's beginning to look a lot like
we are officially 5 months away from Christmas.
Christmas.
Take a look at the 5 and 10.
All right, I don't want to. I know people really
you
don't.
Can just leave this playing in the background.
Well, I know people really. Some people really don't like Christmas music out of season. I don't play it out of season, but I know some people really don't like it. So I'm just going to leave it there. That's get your mind primed. Get you ready for the holiday season just around the corner. Because I always heard that once you get through Labor Day, that it's just like a fast track to the holidays. They just come bang, bang, bang. Even though there's a gap between like the Labor Day weekend and Halloween, it's kind of like a full 2 months. It always felt like so quick. The fall semester in school was always so fun because you got all the breaks. You know, you got Labor Day off. You got, let's see, I'm trying to think of all the holidays. You get Thanksgiving, Christmas, Veterans Day.
Depending on the kind of school you go to, you got winter break. So that like 1 to 2 weeks over the course of New Year's.
Yeah, and now there's, I think the county schools have like a fall holiday technically now where you get like a half week off, something like that. Sometimes it varies. I can't remember exactly, but they've done that before. But are you a fan of Christmas music outside of Christmas season?
If it's played in an instance like that, like I'm a fan of that particular version of the song. So you
the
know,
Michael Bublé version.
Yeah, I mean, Michael Bublé, he's a good singer.
Yeah.
He's a good singer. Now, don't get me wrong. Frank Sinatra.
I was going to say.
That's my Christmas album.
Agreed. But, I'm with you.
But like, I haven't heard it in such a long time that I just got like a little bit of a chill.
Oh, the warm feeling inside.
I got the warm fuzzies. I got some of the warm fuzzies. But, yeah, that'll only last about a week. As soon as it starts playing consistently, I just turn the radio off. I'm playing my own music. If I want to hear Christmas music, you know, I'll hear it everywhere.
Yeah.
So that'll last for about a week, maybe 2 weeks. And then I'm like, all right, I'm good.
When is the right time? Maybe this ought to be a, if we do a pushback Friday sometime soon, maybe a pushback Friday, maybe not sometime soon, actually, but sometime in the holiday season.
December.
When is the right time to start, one, putting up decorations, and two, playing Christmas music?
December.
Yeah, December only. What about day after Thanksgiving?
If you want to go day after Thanksgiving, that's fine, yeah, but...
Because that's what I conventionally do. I feel like a lot of people, day after Thanksgiving, you get that... A lot of people get that Friday off, so they do that then, and then Saturday, and then they take everything down, like, first weekend January. That's what I've typically done, like, the day after New Year's or New Year's Day.
For the past 2 years, my Christmas regime had been helping set up. It takes me about a month to set up for Christmas because we have at a family friend's house, we have about 160 inflatables that we put up in this man's yard.
Seriously?
In the front yard, in the backyard, inside the house, like three different Christmas trees. This man
so
goes
that's his
all
thing. Well,
out.
There are a number of houses in the Tallahassee area that are known for just, oh my gosh, it's like kind of finding Where's Waldo. Like, I didn't even see that one. There's so many.
I contribute to one of those crazy houses.
Is
yes.
that right?
Yes.
But it's always fun to be able to drive around. So anyway, just a quick little pushback. We're going to come back, conclude the show. I just wanted to do a little bit of Christmas in July now that we're 5 months away. Another radio program in the books. Tomorrow, Preston will be back. Regularly scheduled programming. Hard to say. Tomorrow, we'll have a whole list of things going on. We got Stephen Ponder from Seminole Boosters joining the program coming up this week. Same thing, Mark Meckler from the Convention of States. We've had him on regularly, and he's kind of become a frequent guest, and so... if you're not aware of Convention of States and kind of what the constitutional process is to try and rein in our federal government, Google them, Convention of States, Or I believe it's conventionofstates.com. I can confirm that. But if you just Google Convention of States, it'll be one of the first things that pops up. But we'll also have Manly Minute. Howard Eisenman and Money Talk will join us in the third hour again to give us some forecasting of what's going on. And there's no shortage of things that are going on. But this last story, this is a great way to send off the show. You may have seen it over the weekend. Sometimes you come across a story and you think that New York's paper of record, the New York Times, you think that they can't get any lower or they can't get worse, but then they continue to up themselves. Like they continue to blow their own standards out of the water. The New York Times has advocated in a new op-ed that cannibalism has a time and a place in society.
What?
I kid you not. Let me. Where'd it go? Here it is. There we go. A Taste for Cannibalism. It's behind a paywall. Figures. Cowards. Cannibalism has a time and place, and they argue that cannibalism is having a moment right now. They're all in their feels because of some recent stomach-churning books on television and human screens, and film screens, excuse me. The piece was written by Alex Beggs, freelance writer and regular contributor at Bon Appetit, where she reviews the latest Trader Joe's products, writes the magazine's questionable etiquette column, and regularly covers cookbooks. And she advocates that cannibalism is the way of the future.
I just want to see a cookbook from her called Cooking with Kids.
Oh, that's a little dark. Good grief. But that is where
horrible.
That is where a godless secular society has gotten us. Nothing is off limits. You can have 12-year-olds can get puberty blockers, and then cannibalism enters the fray.
Brought to you by Barino Heating and Air. It's the Morning Show 180 on WFLA.
It's just purely satanic. There's no other way about it.
It's wrong on so many levels.
So it is. It's incomprehensibly wrong that there are legitimate people who are utterly serious about their life, and they argue that cannibalism has its time and place. God help them. Recapping the radio program, I debunked Christian nationalism. Our nation was founded as a Christian nation. Go back, check out the podcast on the iHeartRadio app. Everything from Lee Zeldin's attacker, potential, you know, assassin, really, was finally apprehended. The CIA is proud of how they handled Afghanistan. Crayons have gone woke, which is rather surprising that it took so long, given the fact that they literally make a product that is the rainbow. We talked a little bit about Christmas in July. We're excited. We're 5 months away to the day. We've got a whole litany of shows coming up this week. We'll be back tomorrow in 21 hours. I'm Grant Allen, Ethan Burdett. Have a great day.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.